I am Linda van Tilburg for Birds News. President Cyril Ramaphosa launched South Africa's G20 presidency this week. It operates on a system of current, previous, and next holders, which means that South Africa will be working with Brazil and the United States. Well, we have Dr. Jacques Celier, head of the African Futures and Innovation Program at the Institute of Security Studies in the Birds News studio to discuss that. Hi, Jacques, so nice to see you again.
Thanks, Lomel. Thanks for inviting me.
So what implications does South Africa's G20 presidency have for the country?
Well, it's extremely prestigious. I mean, this is the 19 countries that are the largest economies in the world, plus the European Union, plus the Africa Union. And South Africa is the only African member on the G20. This is an opportunity to showcase South Africa, to ensure that we attract investment, to make sure that South Africa is visible on the international stage. And at a time, particularly that the Trump presidency has come in, of course, there's a great degree of volatility globally. People are concerned about the future. And what is interesting, of course, is South Africa hands over to the Trump presidency in November of next year. And then Trump is supposed to come to South Africa. Well, let's see if he comes. And that would really be a huge occasion, hosting the top 20 economies in the world. So for South Africa, this is a big deal.
So how do you think they can leverage it to be an advantage for South Africa?
You know, before Trump was elected, I would have been a little bit more optimistic. If you look at what happened at the Rio summit that was just concluded, a range of items were listed there, such as revitalization of the World Trade Organization and so on, which I think are going to be very difficult with Trump. I mean, but what is important is for South Africa to engage with the US. And this provides a vehicle for South Africa to do that so that we can try and make sure that AGOA carries on and that our trade relations do not become hostage to the kind of tariff protection. I mean, for Trump, let's face it, Africa is not a priority for the U.S. In actual fact, as Africa, we've seen now Biden is coming to Angola, sort of a last gasp visit. But when you speak about competition with China, when you speak about critical minerals, Africa does play a role. And we need to up that competitive advantage that the U.S. can get by engaging with South Africa, which is the gateway to Southern Africa, and to try and get as much attention, as much investment, as much opportunity, seeing Americans and others see the opportunity to invest in Africa as possible. So important, but it's going to be a difficult and a turbulent year.
Well, if you look at the G20 generally, you know, it plays an important role, but Trump does not really have a high regard for international movements, you know, for NATO and for the United Nations. So, you know, how do you think he would see the G20?
So he has a very transactional approach to almost everything. He's a real estate dealer that wants to make a deal. So to get something from the US, you have to offer him a deal. And there are already concerns that, for example, he may unilaterally decide to, for example, recognize Somaliland, which would be a huge ruction in the African politics. So what we have to do is we have to be very careful about presenting to Trump the potential that South Africa has as a gateway to Southern Africa. There are a number of U.S. companies active for many, many decades in South Africa. But trade and investment from the U.S. to Africa and to South Africa has been declining. So we need to present a case for why South Africa is important, not only for the U.S. today, but going into the future. And that will have to be on clear business proposals that attract the attention of the U.S. as a future market, particularly our young and growing population.
So what can we offer? What can we tell him? Okay, you know, what can we trade?
Well, South Africa is the largest or second largest economy in Africa. We have strong institutions. We've been able to resist state capture. And we have the best, although problematic, infrastructure on the region. And it is a gateway to Southern Africa. So if you want to enter Africa, South Africa, with its judiciary system, Bill of Rights, and legal system, is an obvious gateway into the rest of Africa. And many companies, many U.S. companies in particular, who are concerned about the regulatory environment in Africa, set themselves up in South Africa and operate from here. And I think that must be our major selling point. Because just consider, for example, the environment, even in Angola, but the DR Congo, large countries with huge potential, but the regulatory complexities and the issues of corruption and poor governance make it very difficult for large companies to invest there. So stability, good governance, the strength of our regulatory judicial system, these are the things that I think we should really emphasize.
Well, given Trump's warning that he would put 100% tariffs on anybody, BRICS countries who accept a new currency, you know, instead of the dollar, how should we view that warning?
Yeah, there's no possibility of a BRICS currency. What BRICS countries have been speaking about is trading more in their own currencies and not through the US dollar, which places a huge cost, additional cost. So there's a bit of a media hype about this, but it's practically not possible to establish a BRICS currency. Just think of these, you need all kinds of monetary stability and requirements. So that's just not possible. I think what people clearly want to do is to move away from trading in the US dollar. And I think that one has to be careful about how you message that. South Africa's close relations and support of the Palestinian cause, these are issues of concern that we have to be careful of. Luckily, we now have a government of national unity. And to a sense, the composition of the government of national unity means that we no longer have an out-and-out ANC foreign policy. And that hopefully will mediate some of the potential outliers in terms of how we are perceived in the U.S. And I think that's very important. Helen Ziller just came back from the U.S. and made exactly this point, that if it wasn't for the Democratic Alliance, then in actual fact, the possibilities of South Africa being kicked out of a goa was probably quite high. And I think she's right.
So this takes the gloss a little bit off Ramaphosa's G20 presidency, the fact that Trump is becoming the new president in the U.S.
Yes, it does. I think it is. I've just returned from trips to Istanbul and to Addis Ababa and all kinds of places, and the concern is palpable. I mean, the issue is that he brings a degree of uncertainty, a degree of volatility to everything. And particularly so it's going to be a story of short-term gain for the U.S. and long-term pain. But that short-term gain for the U.S. means that the U.S. dollar is already appreciating, money is going to flow back to the U.S., and developing countries are going to struggle. Trump is not committed to climate change or sustainable development goals or multilateralism. And these are all issues that are very important for South Africa. So we're heading for difficult times. Then we have events in the Middle East. We have, what's happened in Ukraine. And then the competition between China. And who knows how Trump is going to react? All that we know is that he will place American transactional interests first. It's a very narrow approach about what he thinks is good for the U.S. And as I've said, these are often short-term gains that will mean that more money flows to him and billionaires like Elon Musk. And basically, you see large capital in the U.S. becoming much more powerful. And really, what is happening is democracy in the U.S. has been significantly undermined, and globally. In some of the indices that measure democracy, the U.S. is no longer considered a democracy because you have a family business running the U.S. So money is becoming more powerful than democracy in the U.S. And this is concerning globally. So we are all hoping that the European Union and others will, to a degree, mediate these influences. But what's happening in the U.S. is equitable to what's happening in much of Africa in terms of politics and how money is influencing politics and how you bring your family in to run big business. It's actually a shame what's happening in terms of what was known as the shining light on the hill, to see it deteriorate into a kleptocracy in terms of how things are being managed. But we'll have to survive that in the next year. It's going to be interesting.
Is it a snub for South Africa that Biden, well, he basically didn't visit Southern Africa during his term. And then when he did, he went to Angola instead of Southern Africa.
No, the The U.S. have a big project, the Robito Corridor, which is their biggest infrastructure project in Africa. And Africa is not a priority for the Americans. It's a priority only in terms of their competition with China. And that's the situation with Biden. It was the situation before him with Obama, and that will not change. In actual fact, with Trump, what we have to do is, in a sense, prove the extent to which we are important for the U.S. So, yes, it's the fact that in the lame duck portion of his presidency that Biden goes to Angola after having promised that the U.S. is so-called all in on Africa. Well, that just reflects the reality of Africa's no priority for the U.S.
And sort of, I don't know if you want to answer this question. There are rumors that President Ramaphosa will likes the limelight that he will have as the with the G20 presidency, but that he might leave soon after.
I don't know. I think that the ANC, the Government of National Unity, will survive until the ANC's National Executive Council, the next elective conference. I think that's end of 2027. Both the Democratic Alliance and the ANC have everything to lose by stepping out of the GNU. And the GNU has to work in terms that we have to see a change in South Africa's growth prospects. So I think there'll be lots of ruptures, lots of problems, but I think Ramaphosa will stay president until the end of 2027, when the ANC bring a new president of the ANC in, and then the bet's off. But my sense is that the government of national unity should survive beyond our next presidential elections, which is 2029, because to get the kind of impact on growth, reductions in poverty, reductions in inequality takes time. And in modeling that we've done, we don't see significant impact until about 2030. So holding a center together, center-left, center-right, between the ANC, the DA, and possibly others, I think for South Africa is very important. It would be a disaster if MK and the EFF if the ANC would step away from what is a rational pro-market set of policies and enter into alliance with state capture elements that are now firmly ensconced in parliament.
Dr. Yakisalia, thank you so much for speaking to us.